It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
At forward, number 5, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number 9, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi. Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Shope.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Ayo from Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, the Bills have signed an offense.
Pretty much. That's pretty much what they've done.
Wow, yes. Did I miss? What, how will the Antonio Brown event be remembered? Will it be remembered? Like, I think, you know how you say all the time that everything seems like a long time ago now?
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a long time ago.
There's like four or five new guys, and
right,
he's on another team. That's like right. Over.
Right.
All the way over.
I think it'll be remembered because there was, as Joe told me, I missed it mostly. I mean, the era was about a half an hour on Thursday night late.
I would say like 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, the way Joe told me, like, well, maybe it was by the time Joe got in. Joe came in.
Yes,
to work.
Right. Yes.
And by the time he got in, the fire was out like a half an hour after that.
It was like 10:45. I knew I wasn't working the next day, and I did not feel well. So I was asleep. When the Sabres were playing Chicago, I was asleep for like half of that game, 9:30 or 10 o'clock. And I just woke up, and I had the thought, you'll be impressed. I had the thought, how did they do? So I checked Twitter from bed to see how they did, and they were just losing in the shootout at whatever time that was, like 10:50 or 11. And then this happened.
Right.
Brown happened. And then, like, I was off to Philadelphia in the morning and was planning on leaving, like, super early. But I was up for the whole thing, like 1:30.
Oh, wow.
It was not resolved. And I was up the whole time for that. Then in the morning, woke up to see, like, what's the latest on that? Like, 7 or 7:30. And it was said that it's not over yet, necessarily. And then a minute or so after that, it was Schefter with like Bean saying, we're
right,
out.
Right. Well, then you might. I mean, you got a lot of mileage out of that.
I think I got about.
You got
the
a
most.
Lot because I got me. It was like 8 minutes while I, you know, was in the bathroom. But it was just like, what they're doing? They're doing this? No. Oh, okay.
Right. Do you read your tweets in reverse? Or,
yeah,
like, how do you look at them?
Well, the way that this happened. And the way the timeline is now, it's also messed up anyway. Like, I was getting stuff from the middle of the night along with new stuff. So it became pretty apparent right away that it looked like it was happening, and then it wasn't happening, and then it was definitely not happening.
Okay, so by today, you know, like people who are with us
right.
all day, every day, by today, that's like, why are we even talking about this?
Right, yeah. It even felt like Sal and I were together yesterday. And it barely came up. Like we played one Drew Rosenhaus comment, and Sal and I sort of rehashed that a little bit. And I just thought, I don't know. Like, I think everyone has moved on. Like it got talked about exhaustively for Friday. I mean, Friday was wall to wall,
rightly,
nothing but that,
rightly.
Right. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the way things happen now, it's okay. That's over.
Well, you also like we wouldn't want to dwell on it. It's not the kind of thing we'd want to dwell on.
No, this is
it's
not,
embarrassing.
It's not a real feel-good story.
If it's not embarrassing to the area, it's embarrassing to the Bills. And for a lot of people, that's enough. You know, if it's embarrassing to the Bills, it's embarrassing to us personally.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people personally.
Right.
So, okay. Well, you know.
Anyway, they've done enough today that, like, look, they didn't sign Antonio Brown or anyone close to Antonio Brown. But they have signed an offense today, like, and they still have money and draft picks, and I think they're off to a decent start.
Yeah, I mean, I would say overall they've done about the best they can.
Right.
You know, they've done about the best they can.
I would have liked, and I'm assuming that Terrell Williams, who I have not seen him sign yet, the Chargers receiver.
Tyrell Williams,
that's done for the Bills. If it was however interested in them he was and they he. I'm assuming that's over because they signed Beasley and Brown.
Me too.
So I liked that idea because he seemed more like a number one receiver than anybody else. So I think I would have liked that more than either Brown or Beasley, or maybe even Brown and Beasley together, and that doesn't have to be right. But Brown and Beasley are both interesting ideas, and I think should help them if their quarterback can get the ball to them.
Brown is fast. Neither guy is big. Beasley is shifty.
Mm-hmm.
He's got good metrics in terms of separation. I know a guy who knows Romo. I just realized this today.
Okay.
A guy I know texted me to tell me that he knows, or actually maybe it's two people removed. I haven't talked about this yet, so I'm struggling already.
All right.
But I believe this is true, that Romo has said of Beasley that he's better at getting open than anybody he played with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Brown is interesting to consider. Antonio Brown is interesting to consider in all this, because maybe the biggest thing about what happened Friday is that they tried for him, that it was revealed. Like, they would probably be better off if nobody knew about that. Like, if nobody found out.
I think in the end, yes, I agree with that.
Teams try to trade for guys all the time, theoretically at least, and you don't find out. Nobody finds out. If a team tries to go get a guy, what they would have given up, they don't want you to know that, and almost always you don't find out.
Mm-hmm.
Within the league, they would know, people sure would know, but the fans would never know. But it did get out, and it was embarrassing. But there's a story in that they tried to do that. And so what are you going to do? I mean, they've had terrible results for 20 years. The market has the reputation that it has. You're not going to close the doors. You're not going to, you know, board up the doors.
No, you got to put a team on the field. You got to try to get players.
You got to keep going.
Right.
And so here you have it. You have that. You have that. They tried for A-list and failed. You move on.
Right. I never thought they were going to make a play for that. I'm intrigued that they did. And that doesn't leave me set up to feel a letdown that they're ending up with John Brown and Cole Beasley, because, frankly, I wasn't sure they'd be able to get any of these guys.
How well were they ever expected to do? In reality, how well were they ever expected to do? As you probably know listening, you know, if you've listened before, this was a theme all through last season. Like, this was a topic all through last season, even though there were games. You know, a lot of fans had it on their mind. The season started awfully for them, and right away it was, well, next year is their year to spend, and they're going to have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who else? Like, Antonio Brown is one part of this story, and so is Benjamin, and how they traded for Benjamin. And just human nature tells you, you know, you make a decision like that, you make a move like that, you trade an asset for him, you would probably have a tougher time bailing on it than someone who didn't make the acquisition in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were the Bills, and they had traded for Kelvin Benjamin, and it wasn't working out, and they dumped, you know, and that's fine. That's probably the right move. They didn't go and extend him just because
right.
they had traded for him and their quarterback was a rookie and they needed to give it more time, which is what teams usually do.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. When the season started, even before it started, I remember thinking out loud a few times on the show, if they went to him right now and did 4 for 40, would he do it? Benjamin, like, they did sink an asset, not a huge asset, but still, you know, it's like right in between the who cares and oh asset, right? Third round pick. So maybe you appeal to him, like, hey, look, here's some money guaranteed. You know, do you want to do this? And I could understand them being so bereft of talent at the position that maybe they would have thought that was a good idea. I'm
yeah.
really glad they didn't. I don't know if they ever thought about it or even broached it with him. Maybe he regrets not having done it. I mean, I don't know what kind of money he's going to find out there in this market now after what's happened to his career. But good for them. Like, they didn't stick with that. And instead, I mean, they've gone really a completely different direction. Like, what I like most about what they did today is that it leads me to thinking, not that I'm going to see ever or expect ever to see an exclusively spread formation Buffalo Bills offense, but they had good success, and it was mostly Allen running out of four and five, just empty sets and lots of guys. And Allen would find all this room, and like a lot of the running that he did late in the season was out of that. And now they've got guys who I think should be able to get open regularly out of those sets. I mean, Brown is fast. Beasley does get open. Foster came on. And then there's Zay Jones, and then whatever else I'm going to end up doing at tight end in addition to what they did yesterday with this guy from the Bengals. Like, I don't hate the look of the people that are. And Isaiah McKenzie was here last year and wasn't, like, he's not somebody I'm counting on, but he was interesting in a role.
I think they've done well for them. You know, I think for the Bills, they've done about as well as they can here. They tried to do, like, something really good.
Right.
And it didn't work. So what's left? This is what's left. Or nothing, and nothing's bad. Nothing doesn't really. You can do that, and you can make that work, too. That's the draft. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, guys that are on this, if this is the second tier, on a lower tier than that. But, I mean, that's not better than this, I think. So, John Brown is a guy that has some relevance in the league, but it's not like he has great seasons. You know, even Baltimore, what happened last year is, for me, like, that's him. He's that. He had a couple of really nice games early in the season. Of course, they also changed quarterbacks.
And once that happened, he fell off a cliff.
Just basically didn't mean anything anymore. And you know, That doesn't have to, like, be about the quarterback. He's had years where you can look up sort of the paths of his seasons, and there's also an injury or two, like most guys.
Yeah, there's one good year in Arizona.
His
1,000 yards, right, 1,000 yards, 60-some catches. Like, it's a nice year.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been, like, in the 40s and hit and miss.
And I don't know a lot about that season, but that's Larry Fitzgerald. Is it also Carson Palmer? And David Johnson
should be, like, Palmer. Yeah,
you would maybe think that's it. Always would be. I mean, to some extent, it's
Bruce
what
Arians.
Else is going on around him. But you know, I can't criticize them. And part of the reason I feel like I can't is because of Antonio Brown, because you know they recognize that he's even a better idea. You know,
mm-hmm.
And right now is the time. You know, most people just have never heard of most of these guys, right? Like. We pretend to be walking around with an educated, you know, opinion about guys like Tyler Croft, when in reality, who, you know, like, that's really most mm-hmm. fans. But Brown, like, the Antonio Brown thing, of course, is different than that. And even though right now is four, okay, there was another lineman that Sal is telling us that they've signed now from Washington, who I've never heard of. Like, today is for that.
Uh-huh.
The thing that we'll probably talk about the most between now and Labor Day is what it means that they tried for Antonio Brown. Like, what it do we have to just, like, completely backpedal on everything we've ever said about culture with the Bills? Do we have to do that? Do we have to just not use that anymore again as, like, a compass what their moves are likely to be?
I'd say probably not, almost definitely not. Like, I think you had a very specific circumstance here where you've got an incredible player and a dire need and maybe an internal, if not external, like, pressure to perform, win, like, year three, like, let's go. And so I saw through Twitter a comment attributed to Andrew Brandt, just like a little. I think the kids might call it a meme. It's just words. It's an equation. It's need. Wow, what the hell was it?
Who are we talking about?
It was just an explanation for why the Bills would, like, break their mold and, like, go after Antonio Brown. And talent plus need equals, like, tolerance. Like, okay.
Okay.
Like, I have – we need this. You've got it. I can look the other way on some stuff, you know. Like, this is a cheat code for me. I can find my way to someone who's better than anyone I can possibly find, draft or otherwise. Like, this is the best idea we could ever possibly have. And the cost might not be in the form of assets going out that prohibitive. Oh, I move down 10 spots in the draft, and I give you some mid-round picks. Okay. And now I just got to pay you.
Are we assuming – like that was the trade?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been widely speculated that it was 20-9 for the Steelers. The Bills dropped down to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe basically what the Raiders paid.
Yep.
So, like, okay, I'm fine there. And now I've just got to pay you $20 million a year.
Which they would have.
Yeah, I don't think there's
any
question.
They don't make a trade unless
No, I don't think you get.
They know where they stand. They would have had to
I can't,
commit to that.
I think it's really naive. I mean, I really do. I think it's really naive to think that they would have gone into this, and Sal and I argued about this a couple different times, gone into it and not expected to have to make him the highest paid receiver in football. I just don't know how you even get into it. Like, that's just not realistic to me.
Yeah, no, it was always a part of Brown's,
you
know, end game or gambit that he was going to get a new contract, and he got it.
So anyway,
it's Andrew Filippone saying, if not other people too, that the Steelers never do what the Raiders did. Like, the Steelers have a policy,
right?
We're not tearing up your contract,
right?
And so if he was going to stay with the Steelers, and obviously he worked his way out of there, he was going to have to settle for what he was making,
right?
And he would have to go to a new team to do different.
So I mean, I think everything just sort of lined up to where, like, you know, maybe the most, and I know you wrote about it too, like, the most we ever talked about Antonio Brown was, shouldn't we talk about this? Like, should we be disqualified from talking about this? And, like, I don't know how the Bills would have gotten to the point where they're on the phone with the Steelers on Thursday night trying to do it. But maybe it starts as humbly as that. Just, I mean, really?
You assume they had a trade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are we really doing here? Like, how much do we dislike what he's been? Like can we rectify this in any way? I'm assuming that they just got over it and just went, yeah, we can make this work.
Well, you know, these receivers are okay. And I just can't bang on the Bills, knowing that they tried for the best guy in the league for how they ended up here. They made the effort. They spent the money. Did they spend more than another team would have had to? Maybe. That's life. That's their life. That's how it goes. So I can't really criticize them for that. And these guys are okay, and there's some chance of it going well. The center sounds like a good idea.
Yep.
They made him the highest paid center, right? Average.
For now, yeah. But yeah.
For now. And so, again, same point. And that's fine. Like, that sounds fine. Seems like, again, they were right in thinking that that was a position where they needed, they needed help.
And I don't know what.
And they signed Frank Gore.
And right. Right, he'll be 36 in September.
I'm 36.
Well, he'll be 36 in May, but like by the time the season begins, he will be.
I checked.
Your age.
I mean, I don't know what the fixation is with old and slow running backs.
I don't know either.
Must be a super nice guy, yeah. Probably.
And they also did this thing with the Washington swing tackle that, you know, like, doesn't.
That's old? That's what I meant before.
No. That was like the last. When I got out of the truck when I got here at 2 o'clock, that just
okay,
happened.
Okay, that's. What's his name?
Inseke.
Okay.
Ty and Seke, I think.
Okay.
Joe, am I right on that?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. He oh, perfect. I'm first time. He's older, has never really been a starter, but it's like $7 million for a year, I think. Like, it's guaranteed. So it's a little. It's almost like we'll see what happens.
Well, how does it work? This is important. Anytime if you care at all about free agency, this is an important point. The GMs in these situations get criticized for what? For not spending it. That's what they get criticized for. Not for who they sign. Ultimately, that comes out in the wash. That comes out in your record. The players you put on your team, that's what comes out in your record. And if your record's bad, you're gone. and we'll get a new GM. But how many times since it happened have you and I listened to fans point out how way back when it was Marv Levy's turn to run this thing, how the Bills did not address when fans talk about this, how they say it is usually when are they going to address offensive line?
Well,
where Bean gets criticized is if he does not address offensive line. And if somebody says that today, it's where you and I go,
I know,
actually.
But it's a moving target. This guy's only $7 million. He's not the first-round pick. I mean, they could still do that, okay? But, like, let's just say hypothetically they draft the tight end at 9. And so they don't draft a starting right tackle. And this guy ends up being their starting right tackle and is bad because he's not a starting caliber player in the league. We're still going to hear that they didn't address it because you didn't get a good enough player. You didn't go get Darrell Williams from Carolina, or you didn't go get whoever.
I think it's really hard to get that right.
Yeah.
And it's pretty random. I mean, it's pretty random. It's cohesiveness and how guys fit together. And it's coaching, and it's your quarterback getting the ball, getting rid of the ball right, and it's like your scheme, and it's pretty random. So, like, if I'm Bean, I think I'm smart enough to know the worst thing I could do is not sign people,
right?
Because then people are going to want to go, "What's wrong with him?" That's most fans. Here, he's home free. Like, he signed guys last year too. Bodine was one of these people. Like, that didn't work out.
Right?
They signed Russell Bodine. We call Mike Renner. Mike Renner goes, I don't think so. I go, how do you know? He's like, I've watched their games. I've watched Cincinnati. That's how I know. And he was right. So, I mean, did you hear all summer Russell Bodine was a bad signing? No. You heard, oh, we got Russell Bodine. So Bean is smart. I presume he is smart enough to know how fans who don't know who these people are from their uncle, like, react to that sort of stuff. Like, oh, good, and we got this guy from Washington? Cool. Washington was in the playoffs once.
And the money is, it's a two-year $14 million deal, which is what I mean. It's sort of interesting. Like, it's the sort of money that makes you think, oh, well, he'll play. And, like, I don't know. I don't know.
But all the money is good for is to get him here. And eventually you can run out of money, and then that's your problem.
Right.
But all the money is for, like, Beasley is the best example of this so far, I think. Like, just all of them are the same. They're all, like, big money for what their careers have been, right? But Beasley's like, oh, Dallas offered him $10 million less or something.
Right.
Like, whatever.
See you later.
Whatever. I mean, he got him. And whether he's good or not, productive or not, that'll be – if he's not, it'll be blamed on different things. It'll be blamed on Allen, or it'll be blamed on Daboll, or it'll be blamed on McDermott, or it'll be blamed on whatever. But – Bean
him getting
scores.
Old, and he can't get open anymore, or whatever.
Anything, yeah.
There's a million. Yeah,
that
sure.
That point, then Bean would get blamed for that.
Right.
Like, if the player breaks down,
falls off a cliff. Yeah.
But, you know, he gets whatever this. What is this? 6 months. He gets 6 months of points.
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, sure. Paul Hamilton with the Sabres playing tonight. We'll spend a few minutes with Paul and get a preview. Rob Ray will be here at his usual time at 4. We're at 716 today. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio later, and also Therese Paylor. We'll call on Therese out of Kansas City to talk about the Bills' new center, Morse. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, thanks for listening. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton with Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Of course, most of our attention is on NFL free agency. The Bills have been busy. Free agency technically doesn't really begin until tomorrow at 4, but negotiating period's been going since yesterday at noon.
If today's good, imagine how great tomorrow
is. I know, right? It's going to be anticlimactic because everything's done. This is going to be teams announcing formally everything that's been reported so far. But with that said, the Sabres are at home tonight. They play the Dallas Stars. Paul Hamilton's on the Western Hotline with us. His appearance is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. I bet you guys can't guess what Rob and I were talking about this morning.
NFL free agency.
No. Food. Roots Food, in your pipes. Tree roots in your pipes.
Oh. All right.
Since I have that problem, that was just taken care of this afternoon. But Rob seemed to have pretty good knowledge of the subject.
Oh, great. I'll make sure when and if I have that problem myself to call Rob.
I reserve the right to be corrected here. I've got 5 pages of Sabre game notes, and I don't see anywhere that Jack Eichel is suspended. He's on the, you know, on the roster on the front as if he were playing, and in his little section in the middle, it doesn't mention it. He is suspended, right?
He is suspended for these 2 games, yes.
Yeah, no, that's actually kind of surprising because you have an injury list there, and they don't want to usually talk about injuries, and that's in there.
Yeah, I don't see, like, the one thing I might want to know about this game. I don't see it anywhere. I'll have to read it 5 or 6 more times to make sure. How do we feel about that? Did he deserve to be suspended?
I think so. I thought right away when the play happened, the first time I saw the replay from, like, the penalty boxes, I went, he's getting suspended. I even tweeted it. People were yelling at me, but I'm like, I'm sorry. That's how it goes.
Paul, agree?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He didn't mean to hurt anybody. He didn't mean to hit him there. It was just a circumstance that happened. It's a shame that it happened. No, definitely. And he's gotten away with a couple this year, some pretty nasty hits from behind.
Close.
So, which I thought to myself, same thing. It's like, I think that might wind up. I definitely thought he deserved to get suspended.
So Alex Nylander plays.
Yeah, he was yesterday. They didn't. They only had an optional skate today, but yesterday he was with Rodriguez and Sherry. So he also was on one of the power play units. So that'll give him an opportunity. He's been hot in Rochester. Goals in 4 straight consecutive games, and he needed to get up here this year. They needed to get a look at him. If they wanted to look at him for the rest of the year, that's fine with me, not just for the 2 games that Eichel's out. They got to know what they have in this 21-year-old, and I think he had a pretty good training camp. He's been okay in Rochester. I mean, you figure he only had 8 goals before this little streak started, so we'll see.
Paul, like what I've read and even heard Brayton Wilson on from our morning show who's at the games in Rochester, it sounds like he started out really well and looked like he turned the corner and then just went to sleep. Like his game just sort of disappeared, and there was a lot more of what you've talked about in the past with him, which is not being really all that engaged and sort of watching a lot. And so, whether a corner's been turned, I don't know, but I'm ready. If they're going to give Tage Thompson as much time as they did at the beginning of the year before he started rewarding them and then fell off the face of the earth again and continues to play, then they should give Alex Nylander, who's the same age, these, whatever it is, 13 games, 14 games?
Absolutely.
Give him a good long stretch here, not just 1 or 2 games, and let's see if I can count on you for next year.
And the thing with what I'm going to be looking for is he standing around letting the game come to him? That's when he gets in trouble, is when he's standing around and doesn't get engaged, and it just is like, well, hopefully the game comes to me and I can take a shot from over here instead of attacking the game. And I think he needs to attack the game. From what I understand, talking to some of the guys, Scott Wilson played with him a little bit down in Rochester. It sounds like he started doing that in Rochester instead of, you know, being passive and letting the action come to him.
I'm reading the notes again. I can't find it. I can't find any reference to Eichel not playing in this game and the Sabre notes. So I guess the bottom line on this Nylander is this isn't exactly a merit call-up. This is more, all right, kid, we're out of it, and it's time. Is that about the bottom line here?
No, Mike, you know what? Scoring goals in 4 consecutive games –
okay.
Improving like that, I think.
So maybe he needed to do that.
Yeah, I think, absolutely. Yeah, I think he needed to do that. And it's like, all right, the kid's hot.
Okay.
I think the Sabres called him up the same day Eichel was going to get suspended. It hadn't happened yet, but I think they were smart enough to know that it probably was going to happen. So they called him up and didn't let him play in an afternoon game in Rochester and got him up here. So, yeah, I think the recent action is like, well, the kid's hot. Let's get a look at this kid. We wanted to get a look at him all year. Let's do it.
Okay, no Casey Nelson tonight, and what did you find out about why?
Yeah, Casey Nelson did not have a very good response at all. He didn't have a response at all, I shouldn't say very good, to when Eichel got it. He was the first one there and basically just stood there. Everybody else got there and piled in, and Sam Reinhart's not a fighter. Jeff Skinner's not a fighter, but they were certainly right there and ready to go. And, you know, Nelson just – there was no response, and that doesn't go well with your teammates. I asked Phil Housley about it, and his quote was, "I'm not going to get into that. We had a discussion with him, and we're going to keep that in-house." So, obviously, they weren't pleased with it either.
So you think he's being punished?
His game also has not been as good the last couple. Nobody's game was good in Denver, so it wasn't just him. But his game wasn't good in Denver, and Housley did say that too. He goes, mainly it's his play. It's dipped the last couple of games. So I think it was a combination of the two.
Okay.
That game in Colorado might have been, Paul, I mean, I don't know. Like, you're on the road, you're watching these games. I mean, in a season full of disappointments here since really the end of November, man.
Low point?
They had like 7 shots on goal with 5 minutes to go or something. I mean, it was brutal.
Yeah, 7 shots through 40 minutes, 9 shots through 54 minutes.
Thank you. Okay.
And then they pulled their goaltender and doubled their shot total with the goaltender pulled, taking shots basically from the point.
Yeah.
You know, the lesson there is to pull your goaltender.
Right. I thought it was just a hellaciously unplugged performance by them. I mean,
they had no interest in the game whatsoever. And part of it was the Avalanche came out hitting, and it's gotten around the league now. You come out and hit the Sabres and hit them hard, they will be disinterested quickly. And they got disinterested in that game in a hurry. And there was just nothing. I mean, they were never in the offensive zone. Never, ever, ever. They got 2 scoring chances through 40 minutes. One of them was a breakaway out of the penalty box when Sam Reinhart came out of the penalty box and they hit him coming out and he wound up in on a breakaway. That was one of their 2 scoring chances. It just was disgusting to watch.
All right. When is the Fadoon tribute video? First period?
He's not playing. He's scratched today. He's a healthy scratch.
So what? You don't need him to play.
He's in a suit in the press box, Paul. pay your respects.
The Myers video came when he was in street clothes. So.
All right. All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for this. Paul will be on top of this game, of course, once we get into pregame and through the evening. You'll hear much more from him. His appearance on the Western Hotline brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys. Working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
I still can't find in the Sabre notes that Jack Eichel is suspended.
Yeah.
I did find that Taylor Fadoon shares a birthday with King George III, however.
Oh, wow. Well, you learn something every day.
Dallas seems available to write, like, little funny notes in the
really digging deep to let me know about King George III.
You're talking about the Dallas Stars.
The Dallas Stars.
He's opened the page.
Right, yeah. No, right, I mean, there. They're
shares a birthday with former Stars great Darian Hatcher. Okay, Stars great. Okay. And Revolutionary War loser King George III.
Come on, is that what it says there?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Revolutionary War loser.
All right.
Well, he's battle-tested, but he lost. Better to have lost, fought and lost. I mean, I don't know. Your description of, or Paul's description of Nylander, let's see, was it Nylander season? I just thought of it, then I moved on. But, like, something here was just described as, you know, early in the season it was interesting, and then they sort of lost. That's me, with the hockey season, which, again, is dead before daylight savings.
Yeah.
Dallas and Buffalo tonight. At 7, Stu Barnes is on the Dallas staff.
He could get a tribute video. He's already had
one. Yeah, I mean, he deserves
it. He probably already had one.
He deserves it.
He was fine saver. Yeah.
He was. We'll get back to the Bills, with the exception of Rob's appearance at 4 for most of the rest of the afternoon, and lines will be open for you at 803-0550. Lots of free agent stuff going around involving them and other teams. We're waiting on Le'Veon Bell and a couple of big names, but the Bills been busy. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog from 716 here on WGR.
Hey, we, along with our friends at the SBCA, would encourage you to check out the WGR Furry Fan of the Week. You can find that at WGR550.com. WGR's Furry Fan of the Week is brought to you by DeLacy Ford, first for Ford, first for pets.
I love that
slogan.
First for Ford, first for pets.
You betcha.
All right, go to Lacey. First for Ford, first for pets. Nice. Did you think of that?
Yeah.
No,
I did not do that. No.
That's your partner, right?
That is my partner. Yes, that is. Yes. Yes, it mattered. I know in the first meeting we had talking about this, like, I have a truck from them now, and, like, it's going great. I showed them pictures of Fred. Like, that was something that came up.
Just voluntarily?
Meeting. No, they were talking about pets. Oh, you have a dog? Like, yeah, I got a dog.
The subject of pets came up.
Yes.
In a business meeting.
Yes.
And then you have the dog.
So I showed them Fred, yes.
That seemed right.
Yeah. I've never had that before, though, in a business meeting where I'm like, oh, let me get my phone out and show you a picture of my dog.
No.
It's not
that's a first.
It's not something that's commonly
happened. For almost 25 years.
I mean, I encourage it. Anyone else out there that wants to do business, I mean, I'm happy to show you Fred.
Before phones, you know, this happens with children a lot. Or for me, like my basement. I have pictures of my kids, I think, in there too. And my dog.
Yeah.
So before phones, did you ever walk around? Did you walk around with kid pictures?
No.
Were they before phones? Maybe not. Maybe you have to go back to like the 90s. Did you ever walk around with pictures of anybody in your life?
No, I did not. I had for a long time. I had an office here. Here, not down at 716, which is where we are now, but in our studios in Amherst, I had an office, and before phones, I had pictures of the kids and my wife and, like, assorted other things on my desk.
You did?
Yeah, and now I don't think that sort of thing seems pretty obsolete now.
Joe, try to imagine a world where people walked around with, like, you know, wallet-sized pictures of people that they were, that they knew.
Just seems like there's too much stuff to carry.
Yeah. Oh,
just in general.
In today's world, like, who would do that? Do you think people still do that in their wallet? Like, I don't have a wallet, so if I did,
yeah,
would I have a picture of my wife in like a wallet size or my kids' school pictures or something? I don't know if I would. Maybe I would.
I think I did. No, I have a much smaller, very, very streamlined wallet now. When I had a bigger leather, bulky wallet, and I think I had first gotten married, I think I had one of the little whatever, like wallet. Well, I think they call them wallet size photos.
Yes, wallet size.
Wallet size photos of my wife from the from the photographer from the wedding.
Nice.
And yes, I'm old enough, Joe, to have had a wallet that had numerous photo.
The sleeves.
Little sleeves in it.
Yeah.
And that was a part of the wallet.
Oh, and I would have. Like, you would open up your wallet and it would fall out and it would be like super long and you'd have like 1,000 pictures. Like,
yes,
one of those.
It would unfurl.
Sure. Yes. I mean, it could. I mine was not that extensive. I didn't have that many friends or loved ones. But yeah, I mean, you could go pretty hard there.
I just ordered one while you were talking. I'm going to put all the bills free agents.
Okay.
Wallet size. Just let them just ripple out.
Right.
I'm going to do that. Because there's a lot of them.
Eight guys so far, or is it seven? I can't remember if the Washington offensive lineman made it seven or eight.
He made it eight.
Eight, okay. That might have been the most pictures I ever had in a wallet.
Eight.
Eight, yeah. I don't think it ever got more. I only got the double digits.
Warren Sharp likes the Washington guy.
Pro Football Focus.
There's some good favorable reviews there in the right. Like, I guess I saw something differentiating right tackle from left. He's been very dependable on the left, not so much on the right. But
put him on the which one's the better side?
Left is.
Put him on the left.
Put him on the left. Move Dawkins. Like,
whatever.
Know. Yeah. Well,
move whoever you have to move.
Yeah.
Put him on the left. Put him on the side he likes. If he's good, and the Bills have signed a player. I almost said actually. I'm thinking about the Sabres. If somebody here made a move that like analytics guys like, then I want that. That just seems like a kind of a remote possibility.
All right, well,
something
maybe you're going to
walk
to get
around
in
this world.
In check a jersey.
Maybe I should get one.
See, I screwed up jersey there. I think I got his name right, and I said jersey.
So yesterday.
Holy cow. It's only Tuesday.
Yeah, the odds on you getting the name right and the word jersey wrong. Yesterday I was in Manhattan, and I went to the NHL store.
Oh, yeah?
For the first time I was in the NHL store.
Did they have a note about Eichel being suspended?
No. But I was going to bring Eichel up. I can't believe, how do you not put that in the notes? Whatever, who cares? No one cares anymore about anything. I'm in the NHL store, and I was just sort of scoping it out to see, this would be a thing, like, if you ran the NHL store, is it can't look like, probably shouldn't look like anybody is, like, being slighted. Mm-hmm. All the teams, you know, do they all have equal status on the racks or something? So they do have, I mean, it's impressive. They have a whole section where it's like the star player or the captain or something, like one guy from each team, a jersey rack, and Eichel is the Sabres guy, of course. And then the tri-state area teams each have like their own sections in the middle of the store. Rangers, Devils, Islanders are all like they have a little bit more for those teams. Okay. And then in the back, there is a discount rack. And I was telling the guy I was with, who I just met, I was telling him how when you and I would do shows from the Sabre store, sometimes the discount rack you might think was a clue about something. Like, oh, Ryan O'Reilly's jerseys are on the discount rack. Does that mean something? You know? So on this rack, though, it's three players.
On the discount rack.
Three players are on this one discount rack in the back of the NHL store where I was yesterday. Henrik Zetterberg, who has retired.
Hasn't played a minute this year.
John Tavares, Islander jerseys.
Okay.
And Jack Eichel, number 15.
Huh.
And the Jack Eichel, number 15 jersey was discounted to $129. Like, you would buy that for $129. Apparently, you're gonna spend. You want to buy a Jack Eichel jersey? You're not gonna spend the $200 for the one with. You're gonna spend you're still gonna spend $129 on one that has number 15. So I was telling the guy I was with about how in the NBA, when you change numbers, you have to buy up your jerseys with the old number on the NBA shop website, and the store is an extension of that. I mean, the store is basically the same as the website, I think. For all intents and purposes, common sense tells you it is.
Okay.
It's the league store. So I think in the NBA, Jack would have to buy the 15s. But there were like three or four Jack Eichel number 15 jerseys between a stack of like Tavares Islander jerseys and Zetterberg jerseys on this rack.
Great.
Yeah, whatever. Just thought it was like a little trivia.
129. I don't know why I'm surprised.
The guy came over and he was like, can I help you guys? Like, now we're just looking at the discounted jerseys. And he's like, the guy from the store goes, that one's 40% off. And so I held up the little clearance sticker on the top of the jersey. Like, you mean it's 40% off of this, 125 or 129? He's like, no. That's already the 40% off.
Right. Like, the Zetterberg jersey, at least. Like, that's the last jersey he wore with the Red Wings. Like, you could buy that just like people like to buy old Sabres. Like, he's not going to play for some other team. He never got traded. He's done. So,
correct.
Like, you can do that, and I think feel pretty good about that.
Correct.
Like, he didn't change to some other number or something. Like, good.
One guy retired, one guy changed teams, one guy changed numbers
in
that little group in the store. Very impressive store. Rob Ray coming up. We'll spend a lot of time between now and the game on the Bills' moves. There have been several. Stay tuned for the update on that. We'll talk to Sal and also Therese Paylor from Kansas City later this afternoon. But Rob Ray joins us here at 716 after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.